Welcome to the RDC Grant Writing Workshop, and welcome to Dallas. Give you all a big round of applause. And this is the most important thing. You all should all stand up right now. Is everybody standing? Please stand. All right. Stand up. Stand up. I want you all to all give yourselves a great round of applause for finding stateroom 3. Yeah.
Dan, as long as they're standing, let's have Leslie do some aerobics.
No. We know you guys are all wonderful leaders and very tenacious just to be able to find this conference room. So thank you so much for coming here. What we're going to do today, we want to first take an opportunity and let each of you take a minute and introduce yourselves and just give us a quick comment on any any grant writing experience that you've had or kind of what you'd like to get out of the grant writing workshop. But we've got a large group here, so we can't talk long. But everybody, please, it's wonderful to see and know who's here. So let's take about 30 seconds a person and go around and introduce ourselves. Then we're going to do a door prize, which is always very, very important. And so then we're going to have Tom Tobin talk to us about the tips and trips and kind of grant writing 101. And we have handouts for everybody. So you can take notes, but we have both large print and braille of the tricks and tips that Tom's going to talk about. Then we're going to break into 5 teams, and we're going to do a little match game competition to match foundations with charitable organizations. So we think that'll have a little fun. We'll have a little interaction. And then we'll wrap it up with some questions. So is everybody good with the agenda? All right. Well, let's get started. Rick, if you can kind of take the mic, and let's go around and introduce and see what wonderful folks we got here today.
Hi.
Am I on?
Oh, I'm on. Okay. Hi. I am Deborah Lori Woodall from the Cincinnati, Ohio chapter, and I'm looking forward to learning about grant writing.
All right. Welcome.
Good chili.
Marilyn Lutter. I'm from the Washington, D.C. Affiliate, and I have worked for a lot of people in my life who have written grants, but I've never written one, so I don't know. I don't feel very informed about this subject.
I'm Glenda Bourne, a native Texan, a member of the Austin chapter, Texas. But anyway, as far as grant writing, never done it, don't know much about it, want to know something about it.
Okay, Carol White, Dallas. And I know nothing about grant writing.
I'm Sheila Derrick from Fort Worth and also treasurer for ACBT, and I know absolutely nothing about grant writing.
I'm Sandy Edwards. I'm from Arkansas, and I've heard of grant writing, and I'm here to learn about it.
I'm Paul Hunt. I'm from the Austin Council of the Blind. And first of all, my chapter was good enough to send me here, so I figured I might want to take something back. But also, I've always felt overwhelmed about grant writing, so maybe we can kind of unravel it a little bit and kind of get focused.
I'm Bob Lucas from New Jersey, and I'm here just to learn what I can about grant writing. I've audited some grants, but it's not the same as doing them.
Okay, I'm Audley Lucas with New Jersey Council of the Blind, and I know nothing about grant writing, so I'll be all learning today. Thank you.
Karen Campbell, Secretary, Illinois Council of the Blind. I know nothing about it, so need to learn because our affiliate needs this desperately.
This is Ray Campbell, board member for the Illinois Council of the Blind, and I've helped write some grants and stuff in the past. My big struggle is, how in the world do you find grants and find people to submit grants to?
Okay.
I'm Denise Cauley from Washington State, and I'm just here to learn some of the tricks and tips for writing grants.
I'm Burl Cauley from Washington State. I was involved in a grant project about 10 years ago, but that was a long time ago.
Okay, thanks. Rick Triano, live in Florida now. When I lived in Jersey, I was involved in a little bit of grant writing, but it's been a while, and I don't know what has changed. It's been about 20 years or so, so I'm sure things have changed.
I'm Donna Brown from West Virginia, and I'm here to learn whatever I can. But before I give the mic, I don't know how you're going to give door prizes without, like, tickets, Dan Spoon.
Hello, I'm Olivia Chavez, and I'm a member at large of ACB from Texas, and I am on the board of ACBT and working on a youth advantage program. So I'm here to learn to write grants so we can get lots of money for our youth program.
Okay, your turn.
Hello, my name is Gladys Broski. I'm from London, Ontario, Canada, and I'm here to learn how to write a grant. So my friend and I are going to start up a small business, and we're entitled to government funding for some grants. That's it.
I'm Shirley Stivers. I'm the 2015 DKM first-timer.
That's going to happen to you a lot this week.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. My name is Kathy Casey, first vice president of the American Council of the Blind of New York, and know nothing of grant writing and hope to learn some. Thank you.
I'm Carol McGee, and I had that distinction last year, and so I came back. And I want to learn to write grants because our state affiliate is small, and we need to find a way to grow.
Alan Peterson from North Dakota Association of the Blind. I have written grants, but I don't consider myself an expert.
Jeannie Lang, I'm also with the North Dakota Association for the Blind, and I've written some grants, but need to become more proficient in it.
Have I already done you?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
My name is Joshua Hanley. I'm a committee member of Gospel Light Foundation for the Blind, and I've written 108 grants on my own, personal spinal cord injury grants, and I'm working on one right now.
I'm Ellen Telker from Milford, Connecticut, and I'm here to learn.
Hello, I'm Hazel Fields, and I'm here to learn more than what I was able to find on the internet.
Hi, I'm Norma Bogie with the Iowa Council of the United Blind. I have a good grasp of the fundamentals, like I know what RFP stands for, that kind of stuff. And I'm here because I don't think my affiliate president should have to do all the work.
Hi, I'm Kathy Shelton in Oklahoma, and now that I'm retired, I thought maybe I had some time to work on grants.
Peggy Ivey, Middle Tennessee Council of the Blind, experience none.
Okay. Dan Dillon from Tennessee. Co-chair of the RDC committee along with Dan Spoon, and I've raised a lot of money, but I've never written a grant.
Great shirt, by the way. Here you go.
Hello, Randy Hout from Portland, Oregon, PDX chapter, and I'm just here to learn. Thank you.
Okay. I'm Beth Corley from Nashville, Tennessee, Middle Tennessee Council of the Blind. And I write like I talk, so I know that's not the proper way to write a grant. So I'm going to work on it.
You got to write like she talks.
Hi, I'm Patricia Valladares with the Middle Tennessee Council of the Blind, and I have never written a grant, so I hope I can do that in the future.
Last table. Todd Falstrom, North Dakota affiliate, here to learn about grants to help fund North Dakota.
I'm Teresa Thomas. I'm with Bluegrass Council of the Blind. I've been writing grants for about 2.5, almost 3 years now. And of our agency or organization budget of $93,000, about $70,000 of that is grants. So we're constantly writing grants and getting more. But I'm always willing to learn.
We need to have her come here.
Okay. Candy Loomis, and I'm with the SVCB, which is out of the Central or California region in Santa Clara County. And I'm here to learn a little bit. I have had a little bit of experience. I had a grant writing class in graduate school several years ago. But I'm kind of trying to help the chapter a little bit and get some more going. There you go.
Hello, I'm George Holliday, ACB board member, member of the Resource Development Committee. And I have one challenge for everybody in the room. After you learned a lot today, everyone's going to write a grant for ACB.
All right, George.
All right. Dr. Jury.
I'm Howard Ferguson. I'm from the Capital City Council of the Blind of Olympia, Washington, and I'm probably one of the unusual ones. I have two other members of my club here have been previously. I don't know much about grants, and I have a purpose not only for my club, you know, but also I'm a line member and been involved in fundraising for sight and hearing in my club, so we might use that also.
Everybody at this table?
And I'm Rick Moore, I'm the treasurer of the Bay State Council of the Blind, and we spend more than we take in, so enlighten me.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome. Sarita, were you able to? Still working on the tickets. Okay, while you're working on the tickets, maybe we'll do the drawing after Tom gives his update. That would be good. But first, I want to at least introduce all the members of the RDC who work all year long trying to raise money for the American Council of the Blind. So Dan Dillon is our chair. So Dan Dillon. We have George Holliday that's part of our RDC committee who's here today. Alan Peterson who's here today. We have Donna Brown who's here today. Burl Colley who's here today. David Trott who's running around like a crazy man. Go, David. And I think and Leslie Spoon, who's here today. Ooh, I almost got in trouble. Look out. Okay. I think that's everybody we have present. So thanks to the committee for all their hard work. And I'm going to turn it over to Tom Tobin. Tom has done an absolutely outstanding job the last 2 years as our development director. Him and Joe Steigerwald have really helped us get on track on how to do development work resource planning properly. And also how to write successful grants. And so Tom has 20 years in the business doing development work, and I'd like to introduce you right now, Mr. Tom Tobin.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan. Right behind you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Whoop, can you hear me? There we go. I got to eat the mic. You know, I love these mics. You got to eat the mic. This is so exciting for me. By the way, Dan, it's 30 years, not 20 years. But anyway, that's okay. That's okay. This gray isn't painted, now, let me tell you. One quick announcement. David Trott, who's one of our RDC committee members, has found something in the room. And if you're missing something, you need to come talk to David because he has it. But I can't tell you what it is because it's something you need to identify. All right. Well, having said that, welcome, everybody. It's a great turnout today. I am so psyched to hear everybody's enthusiasm for grant running. Most people go, fundraising? Oh, my God, I don't want to do that. But anyway, you're all after my own heart here. So we hope today will be informative. It'll hopefully be entertaining. And we hope you get something out of it. And it should be a lot of fun. I give a shout out to Teresa Thomas over there. We met at mid-year. You could come up here and do this presentation. I should step aside because I'm sure you're a lot prettier than I am. So anyway, and that's said by a guy with low vision. So you're gonna take that out of the grand slam. So
I'll take the compliments when I
can get it. Yeah. Anyway, just for fun, once again, good afternoon. How many of you were in at the mid-year meeting? Just round of applause for those of you that heard the RDC speak during mid-year. Okay, there's a few of you out there. Okay, you're going to get right off the bat a little test. When I started my presentation for the RDC, I opened up by saying, fundraising is all about dot, dot, dot. Oh, you guys are awesome. Teresa, you're cheating over there. I don't know. But you're absolutely right, whether you're talking about corporate philanthropy or individual donor philanthropy, special event philanthropy like the Brenda Dillon Walk, yay, or you're talking about grant writing, believe it or not, it truly is all about the relationships. Woo-woo! Leslie, you're hired, Leslie. I like it. She has absolutely no fear. I love people. Anyway, what I'm going to do today is just kind of give you a little bit of a highlight, and I'll tell you why in a second. But as my first opening remark was, if you don't learn anything else, remember these three things. And Teresa, you can keep me in check. But these three things are what I call the key to successful grant writing. First one is think about the funder first, okay? Everybody wants to think about themselves and how great they are, and it's all about me, 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 I, but nope, that's not correct. You want to think about the funder because guess what? You got to get into their head. You got to get into their guidelines, learn what they want to fund, what they're all about, and if you do that, you should have a fair amount of good chance for success. Number two is show a funder how you match. So you're going to have to make the case, folks. So for any of you that are shy, it doesn't sound like this group is, but anybody who's shy, you're going to have to get out there and make the sale like Miss Spoon up there. So that's number two. Think about ways you can match with the foundation that you're approaching. And number three, which might sound like common sense, but I can't tell you how many people don't remember this, always, always, always say thank you. Even if you get denied, because, folks, let me tell you, fundraising in general is a profession that you have to have thick skin. Grant writing, you have to have doubly thick skin. So if you remember anything else, always say thank you to a prospective funder, even if you get denied, because they may think about you next time, and they may, maybe even give you a reference to another foundation that you might be a better fit for. So, all right, so the next thing is something that I'm sure is not lost on all of you, especially my friend Teresa over here, but grant writing is not really all that hard, folks, but what it is requires preparation. People, as we were doing the introductions, I was listening, I'm so-and-so from so-and-so, and I just want to write a bunch of grants and, raise money for my affiliate to do whatever. Well, that's kind of a high-level perspective. Once you get into it and you start drilling down, as they say in my business, which I can't stand, but anyway, you really have to focus on preparation. Preparation is the key to success. And yes, Everybody says, oh, but man, that takes too much time. Well, if you don't take the time to do it, you know, prepare to fail. So that's my, if there's anything you take away today from this presentation, understand that grant writing, while is not technically complicated, you got to do your homework. You've got to get prepared, and you got to be able to know what you're talking about and who you're talking to, most importantly. So, as I mentioned at the beginning, and Dan mentioned this as well, we have grant writing tip sheet and the resource guide on the back table, but I'm not giving those to you until the end of this thing because I don't want anybody cheating. So anyway, but you'll have both Braille, large print, and CD versions of these documents. So the grant writing tip sheet and the resource guide. Now these were prepared for ACB by who is now our former grant writer, Jo Steigerwald, and she's one of the best grant writers I've ever had to work with in the business. So the documents that you're going to take with you today are gold. So really not a whole lot that comes out of my mouth is going to be great because you can only just take so much in. But what these documents that we're going to be giving you as you leave today will be something you can go back to and really, again, drill down into what it takes to be a successful grant writer and to be successful in the business of grant writing. So with that, having said that, Dan Spoon alluded that, you know, we're going to try and do something a little different today. So be patient. I've never done this before, but it sounded like it'd be fun, and it's a hell of a lot more fun than me standing up here talking to you all day. So we want to make this fun, so let's play the match game, folks, okay? Woo-hoo! So I think we all can do this, but what I want everyone to do is to count off one, not yet, hold on, but when I tell you, count off one through five, okay? We're going to break into teams, five teams, all right? And however many people in this room, last count I knew, 44, so we'll have five teams of approximately eight people. So in a second, we'll break out into those teams. When you break out into those teams, thanks to my friend David Trott here, we have each team scenario. So each team, once you get together, you need to appoint a team captain. We have these scenarios in large print and Braille, so someone on the team that's going to be the captain either needs to read large print or Braille. So having said that, if we can do this in an orderly fashion, we will then break into teams. So just before we count off, this is where my facilitators are going to be throughout the room to help each team. So Dan Dillon on my right. Say hi, Dan. There's Dan Dillon. And then on the left is Donna Brown. I'm not there yet, she'll be there. And then in the middle here is Burl Cole, Collie. And he'll be there. And then in the back of the room, in the back left, will be Dan Spoon. In the back right will be Mr. Trott. So he's out there. So we'll get there. All right, so folks, this is going to be a little bit of organized chaos, but I need your help and cooperation to do this. I want everybody by table just to count off one through five. Okay, guys, we're going to bring this back together here, all right? Hopefully you've all had an opportunity to come back to order, folks. Come back to order. Thank you. Stay in your teams, but we're going to do we're really going to start playing the match game here now. Rick, do you have the microphone that still moves around? Who's got the mic that moves? We're going to start. We're going to start by each team captain reading their team scenario, and we're going to start with Foundation One, which I believe is Mr. Dillon's team. Well, you're number three, but you're the first foundation, right?
Okay, I'm. Well, here's the mic.
You go, Ray.
Good afternoon. Speaking to you from my plush foundation office in the Lower East Side of Manhattan on the 100th floor of the New World Trade Center. I am here to tell you that here we in Foundation C, we are very proud to support food programs for children, armadillo rescue, and programs involving the arts. So Now, there are some catches. You know, we only do the food programs in the summer. So you want food in the winter, you get to go to somebody else, you know. So that's what we here in Foundation C support. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to get back to what my, whatever I was doing before.
Very good, Mr. Team Captain. I like it.
No problem.
Spoken with enthusiasm. I love it. All right. Thanks, Ray. That was excellent. All right. Now we're going to hear from Foundation number two, which is my friend Dan Spoon's team.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Hunt. We're here representing the Hoboken Honeybees. And we are an organization. We like to pay for housing and food. However, you've got to have you got to know what you're doing, folks. You've got to have some history behind you. I mean history. You've got to have some data. We need to see what you've done in the past, or the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And we need to see how well you recruit your volunteers and how you manage your volunteers, because, folks, y'all can't do it all alone. So you need to have some volunteers. You need to have armies of volunteers, tank loads of volunteers. So, but got some good news for you. You can apply from anywhere in the world. You can be in North Vietnam, China, or New York. Anywhere. So even Hoboken.
Dallas.
So you can be anywhere. Now, we like to fund up to $5,000 to $10,000. So if you want $1 million, don't come coming to us. If you want maybe 1,000, 5,000, 7,500, and you meet our requirements, we urge you to apply. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Well done. Well done. Okay, that was very well done. Okay, we're going to hear from our last foundation, our last funder. That's David Trott. Terrific.
I'll tell you his name is Bob.
All right, Bob, the floor is yours.
All right. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yep.
Well, Foundation C, headquartered in Jersey.
Jersey.
If you want to make us an offer we can't refuse, then you need to be from Whoville, and you better be looking for food and nothing else, and it better be for kids only. Only in the summer. Only in the summer. If you try someplace else, that offer will be refused. And if you do it right, that's $10 a kid. Now give it some thought, folks. But you all can't be talking while I'm talking, you hear? Okay.
Very good, very good. All right, thank you very much. Okay, folks, I hope you're all paying attention because you've heard from three funders. Now we're going to hear from two charities. So Charity One, it's Donna Brown's team. You want a mic? You want a mic?
Okay. Can you hold it? I can't. Sure. I can't. Okay. So, this charity is located in Whoville. We serve children ages 3 to 12 with an after-school program that focuses on the arts. And, man, last year we had 200 children attend, and it was really awesome. 50 of them participated in drama, 50 in painting, and a whopping 100 in dance. So you gave all the children, we gave all the children and parents a survey, a satisfaction survey at the end of the school year. And would you believe 87% of the parents rated our program as excellent? Yeah. So we need some more money to pay for supplies and for our dance program. And we're thinking, you know, maybe about $10,000 or something would do.
Very good. That's, I'd say you got your act together. Well done.
You need to go hire those folks from New Jersey and knock off those other 13% of the parents.
All right, folks. Last but certainly not least is charity number two. It's my friend Burl Colley up here.
We have the incomparable Cammy Loomis, who is leading our team to seek money. Cammy?
Okay, is that, can everybody hear me? Is that close enough?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, we are charity number two, and we are located in Ware's Town, a suburb of Whoville. We serve people of all ages, and they have various needs, but one of the big ones is food. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we need food, some need housing, and some need assistance with health care, but one of their big ones is food. Last year we served between 120 to 200 people. We already have armies of volunteers that have gone out and done all kinds of things for us. And we have lots and lots of volunteers doing good work. They're always running deliveries and everything, and we're looking for probably about $7,500 to $10,000 as well.
Very good. Very good. All righty, folks. Well, thank you to all of our teams and team captains. Now it's time to play the match game. So you've heard from two charities and you've heard from three foundations. So you guys have to help me figure out what are the best matches out there. Charity one, charity two, with which foundation? Come on, guys, let's talk about it. Let's have a discussion. Okay, so far I hear charity two with foundation B. Okay, what else? Charity one and foundation A. Okay. Any other thoughts? How about the folks from Foundation Armadillo? What do you think? So. There you go. See. Okay, folks. I really appreciate all of you taking the time to go through this. Actually, I hope it was fun. But you guys are pretty good, I have to say. I heard pretty much right off the bat that charity one matched with foundation A, and charity two matches real well with foundation B. So you guys did well. Now, what about foundation C? Why was that not a good fit with either charity one or charity two? And they're what? Somebody said the word restricted. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, yeah. So this little exercise, folks, was a chance to give you a taste for really what it's like. And, you know, you guys did really well, but in the real world out there, when you've got thousands of other charities and other organizations competing for those dollars, you really have to do your homework and you really have to prepare and make sure that, you know, what you're looking for funding for is a good match with the foundation you're approaching. So I thought we would use the last bit of our workshop here to take any questions or have some more discussion. But I hope you enjoyed it today. We put a lot of work into this today, and I thank my facilitators, and on as you guys exit after the workshop, don't forget to take the documentation, the grant writing tip sheet, which is just incredibly tells you the Yellow Brick Road and how to do a good research. Sure. Okay. Oh, that's right, Leslie. A door prize, please. Okay, we'll do it. Well, let's do a door prize first, and you guys were very patient. Okay. Okay. Fire. Okay, hold on. Ray's got the floor. Go ahead, Ray. Yeah, for recording, get a mic, please.
And since you guys didn't take the ALD like you supposed to, we ordered them.
You ordered them. Okay. Yeah, I'm glad to know that. Anyways, my question is how helpful is it a good idea? Can colleges and community colleges and such that have nonprofit management programs, can they be helpful in helping you? And how can they be helpful to affiliates as far as researching, helping write grants? How can those students and schools like that be helpful to us?
Good question. The way I'd answer the question, somebody mentioned about talking to, you know, the fact that they've been doing grants for, I think they said, 20 years ago, and clearly that this area has truly in development. I really think that grant writing has become a specialty of all overall fundraising. So, you know, my best recommendation, which we were trying to do with our existing grant writer, is to find somebody that really does it day in and day out, because that really is what you need. You need somebody that knows the ropes, they know how to find the research, you know, and to help do the find the information you need to help not only find the information you need, but also help maybe do some of the writing, because there is some technical aspects to writing a grant. A lot of the smaller foundations are pretty straightforward. It's a cover letter and, you know, accompanying documentation about what you're seeking funding for. But some of the larger ones actually have a form you have to follow. And the good news about the larger foundations is that they tell you A, B, C, D, E, F, G what they want, you know, in your proposal. So if you do, again, prep work, if you do your homework, you'll be able to find out that, you know, basically the foundation's doing a lot of the heavy lifting for you, because they're telling you exactly what they want and where they want it in the foundation. A lot of stuff, and if they want it, right. And a lot of stuff today is done online, and that could present some challenges, because a lot of these online forms are not accessible, and so there may be some challenges with that. But the real key is, you know, and this is my opinion, and I think the real key is that if you do your research, you find a foundation that you think is a good match for what you want to do, pick up the phone and call them and say, my name is John Smith, and I'm with the American Council of the Blind of Chicago, and I'm seeking funding for XYZ. Is this something the foundation would be interested in funding? And most program officers, they really do want you to be successful, so they'll be pretty clear and pretty direct, which in the world of fundraising is a good thing. So they'll be very, you know, cut and dry about saying, you know, oh yeah, you know, it's close enough, or it's good enough match, I think you should submit. Or they'll be real clear and say, don't waste your time and don't waste ours. But again, remember to say thank you and say, well, if you guys can't help me, do you have any suggestions of who could? All these foundations, they all talk to each other, let me tell you. They all talk to each other, from the big ones to the small ones. You know, some of the real smaller family foundations are really where a lot of the money is, because, you know, these families have something that happened to someone in their family, and so they start supporting these causes like cancer, diabetes, blindness, macular degeneration. So, again, all the devil's in the details, so do your homework. But, again, the smaller foundations are the easier ones to approach, just typically because they don't have a lot of the, you know, things you need to do to submit a grant request. But the big ones, because they get so many requests, they put people through their paces. So, like I said, my advice is, once you find out something you're wanting to get funded and you do your research and you find a handful of foundations that look like they're a pretty good match, pick up the phone, call the program officer and say what I just said. And typically they'll give you a pretty good direction.
Sarita Tom. I think it's safe to say that before we start our fact-finding to identify appropriate funding sources, that our respective groups may be interested in submitting an application for, that we have our own documentation in order as far as our nonprofit status, as far as our 501c and so forth. Because don't go to the well unless you have your documentation in order and your current list of officers. They may ask for your bylaws, et cetera, because these are things that will just kick you out automatically. Yeah. So and one of the things I would also suggest is when you do get the application, you find out whatever the format is that you're going to have to negotiate, that – thank you – that you read it thoroughly.
It's the 4th of July, after all.
That you read it thoroughly and look for some of the buzzwords that they give you in describing who they are and what they're about, so that you know that you're trying to mirror some of what they're looking for in the description of their application.
Right. Well, I appreciate you pointing out the fact that you got to have your house in order. I just kind of assume that based on, because this could be a 4-hour workshop, not an hour and a half, but. That's a really good point. And then two things I would say to add on to what you mentioned was certainly if the foundation has certain language they're looking for, you certainly want to emulate what they're asking for. But what you really want to do, and someone mentioned this off to my right, but you want to stay away from our stupid jargon. God, stay away from the blindness jargon. Stay away from the fundraising jargon. Basically write your grants, you know, the way they want you to write it, but write it as if you're talking to your grandmother, and this is in your documentation you'll be taking with you, but you know, write the grant in a very, you know, narrative way, because they want you have to communicate your message in a way that engages the foundation people and you know, makes them, you know, want to review it and be excited by it. Secondly, don't ever make the mistake of creating something or doing something that really doesn't have a whole lot to do with what your particular mission is about, just because you can secure funding for it. That is the absolute kiss of death in any fundraising operation. So I've seen organizations do it. They create a program, let's just say it's in the blindness community, and let's just say it's about employment. They get funded for the first couple years. Funding dries up. They can't find annual fund revenue to support that. Guess what happens to the program? Bye, bye, bye. And is that a really good service to blind people? I don't think so. So you don't want to chase the dollars. That is pretty much the cardinal rule. That is not the proper way to secure grant funding. So any funding, really, in my opinion, but grant writing in particular in this case. So don't chase the bucks, because at the end of the day, you'll get a reputation for doing that, and you'll end up not being very happy. Any other questions, folks? Sure.
Tom, where's the best resource to go find out about foundations? How do I go find all the foundations that are in the Central Florida area that would fund the Greater Orlando Council of the Blind? How do I research that?
Good question, Dan. As you all can imagine, because I get calls like this every day about every possible database that, you know, we'll help you find foundations. Good matches will only cost you $5,000 a year. So anyway, where I would start, you'll have this information in the resource list that Joe put together for you. So definitely go through that. But, you know, one of them is called the Foundation Center, and that's one of the ones that I've used throughout my career. And depending on the size of the organization, you know, the cost to use it is relatively inexpensive. The other suggestion I would have is don't be shy about, you know, going to your local library and see if they have a subscription to the Foundation Center. A lot of them do. And, you know, so it's, there are lots of resources out there. But again, my point is that you want to make sure that the resource you're going to use is a good fit for what your organization needs are. Because there's a place up in Canada that, as I said, well, they've been coming after me as part of director of ACB. It's like $5,000 a year to use their database. And they put together these three matches for us. And I'm like, these are horrible. These aren't very good matches. So be very careful on what resources you use. I like the Foundation Center. I think it's a pretty good resource. I think it's pretty easy to use. I think it's pretty screen reader friendly. You know, you're going to look at all things, you know, about the foundation, their mission, their guidelines, their 990s. That's a really great thing. I'll tell you a little trick of the trade, and don't tell anybody I told you this, but another thing you can really do is to go on to different other blindness organizations' websites and check out their annual reports and see what foundations are getting funding from. And one of my friends who will remain nameless, but he had vision, so he had his little annual report fund that he had as part of his budget. So he'd go and take a little money, and he'd make a donation to this organization, and they'd say, "Oh, thank you, Mr. Smith, for your donation. Here's a copy of our annual report." Well, he cherry-picked off of it. I mean, it was brilliant, actually. But all that stuff is available online. So, you know, not that I'm singling anybody out, but AFB is a good resource. Maybe even MFB is a good resource. I don't know. But, you know, you could definitely find out, you know, based on the things you're looking for by doing a little trolling on other organizations' annual reports. That's a great source to find out where you might be able to take a shortcut, at least in finding the foundation match. Then you got to do your homework. That's a good question, though, Dan. But just be, my only word of advice is be leery, because there are a lot of them out there, and you know, they all want to make money. So they have to find out whether or not that particular organization fits your needs and whether or not you can afford to use them, because they're not all the same. Yes. Yep, go ahead. Who's on the mic?
Who's got the question over here?
This is Teresa. I just had a quick comment on where to look and what he said about looking at other organizations that serve a similar population is very accurate, because even if you're not looking at their websites and looking for where they're getting funded, just build relationships with other organizations, even if they're not serving blind and low vision. If you start making relationships with other people like the Kiwanis Club, the Lions Club, mm-hmm. city council members, just start building relationships and just start asking, hey, you know, we're looking for funding. Does anybody know any agencies? And, you know, somebody may say, hey, our church offers grants, or our church has a missions program, and they you know, they give $500,000 a year to different organizations. It's that relationship building and starting asking questions, because you never know when you're going to find something that just really fits exactly what you're doing.
Thanks, Teresa. That's a great comment. Yep. Go ahead. Wait for the mic. Wait for the mic.
All right. I don't know if this is a good question or not, but I have found out with fundraising, the earlier in the year that you do it and you contact people, the better chance you're going to get money or, you know, items or whatever. Does this also pertain to grant writing?
Well, as I said when I first opened up the my part of the presentation, be prepared to fail a lot. You have to have a thick skin when you're doing grant writing, any kind of fundraising, really. But we find ourselves here in ACB in a situation where we're kind of in the third year of a three-year cycle, and it's very frustrating. I reported to the board today that, you know, you go out there, you do your research, it looks on paper like it's a good fit. Our grant writer calls the foundation, talks to one of the program officers. Oh, yeah, that would be a good fit. We'd be interested in taking a look at that. Please submit, or, you know, send the application, whatever. So we do that. Silence. I meant that intentionally. Dead silence. So, you know, again, you follow up. But, you know, as I said, we've kind of implemented a three-year cycle. So on some of these foundations, this is our third year. And if we don't hear anything, you know, if we don't get anybody on the phone, or we don't get any response, you know, via email or whatever, which is used a lot today, then guess what? They get scratched and we move on. So the building your pipeline is probably It is a never-ending battle. It's true in every part of fundraising, but in this case, grant writing, you always have to build your pipeline because you're going to be finding foundations that seemingly are a good match. You get good feedback from staff, if they have it, that it was a good idea, but then you never hear anything. So a lot of times foundations, especially the smaller ones, overlook. So you have to be very persistent. And, you know, we just came up with a policy, Joe and I, that, you know, after three rounds, if we don't get anything, scratch them off the list. Yes. I mean, the answer is yes and no. I mean, some do and some don't. But again, that's part of your research, folks. You got to find out, okay, some of the bigger ones, they give, you know, they have a formal committee that gets together and they meet and go over the grants on a quarterly cycle or biannual cycle, or they just have an open submission and then they get together whenever they damn well feel like it. And so you just have to, you know, kind of understand what the foundation's looking for and, you know, what you need to do to follow up. But, you know, the game is do the research, do the prep work. You know, if it's a good fit, submit the grant and then follow up until you get either an answer or you exhaust your possibilities. Sure. Any other questions? You guys have great questions. So,
My name is Joshua Hanley. Through my experience of grant writing, I can save you a whole lot of trouble. If you're applying for a very specific grant and you have an applicant out to several companies or several foundations, I would recommend, in my very personal experience, I'd recommend addressing your labels on your own your charity forms to whom it may concern. If you personally address it to someone and you fail, you have to rewrite the thing with someone else's name on it. So if you address it to whom it may concern, you're able to use that one single grant over and over and over again if you don't really have to change much to it. Does that make sense?
I think if it's appropriate in that sense, you know, to me it's like the old, I don't even know if they still have it today, the old common application for college. You do it once and you Xerox it. But remember though, you know, that's not as common because these foundations, whether they're small or large, you know, they don't want to get inundated by paper. So they're going to make you do your homework and make sure it's a good fit. And if it's not, then they're going to blow you off. I mean, it's just the way it is. So. Yep. I mean, it's. We speak plain English in this group. So. Any other questions, folks? You guys have been awesome. I really appreciate your time and your enthusiasm for grant writing. Remember, it's well.
Do you want to say goodbye?
Oh, no. Stop.
Yes.
Yep.
We're going to do something. We made
an
executive decision back to the corner.
Yeah.
I like executive.
Uh-oh.
We're going to do something with the drawing. The door prize drawing, Dan. I'm taking over back here.
You go, Leslie.
Go ahead.
She usually doesn't need it, but.
Okay. Can you all hear me now? All right. So you all have to get up and do 25 push-ups.
That's right. Drop and give it to me.
Okay. So what we're going to do, because I don't want to tax Rick and everybody that can see out with everybody, that's this wonderful turnout for the workshop. We have two door prizes. They're $10 to Starbucks. So I want to know. You have to stand up so Rick can see, because he can see. Who came the longest to Dallas?
Wow. Who, furthest
who,
from Dallas.
Who traveled the farthest?
Canada. Cleveland.
Do we have anybody?
All right.
Anybody in the Northeast? We got somebody from Canada?
There's one. Wait a minute. I got one more. Okay. Here's the next question. Here's the next question. See, thank you. I can be a teacher also. I can get my nasty aerobic voice out. So, whose birthday is today, 4th of July? I meant in this room. I meant in this room. In this room. Does anybody have a birthday today? No birthdays? Who has a birthday tomorrow?
How about in July?
Hey, Dan Spoon, I'm running this show, not you. Who has a birthday this week?
Oh, we got a couple.
Oh, boy. Okay. Okay. Okay, so everybody has a birthday, so we're going to go a different route. Sorry. Who is a first time? Yeah? That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Who is in here that is a very first timer? All right. There you go.
Welcome. And multiple first timers.
We got three? Okay. Who? Okay, we're going to pick a number. Pick a number between the three first timers. Pick a number between 1 and 15. 1 and 15. Yeah? Okay, you're closest. 9 is closest. I had 10.
All right.
Good job, Leslie.
Did we find the person from Canada? Okay. All right. I want to thank everybody for coming today, and special thanks to Tom Tobin, and thank you so much for bearing with us as we broke into teams. Thank you all. Have a wonderful convention.